The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Kilmar takes flight. That's right. Abrego Garcia has flown away from El Salvador and their famous Secaut prison. But he's flying away not to the land of the free, but to face federal charges as the center of a racketeer influenced corrupt criminal organization trafficking migrants all over the USA. Hello, good Monday evening. This is the Living by the Sword Worldwide Radio Show with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, broadcasting from the Chalapa de Chatarra, the junk hut on the Pacific coast of El Salvador. There have been bloody murders and suicides very close to home, including Colombian candidate Uribe, perhaps the hope of the nation, who was shot twice in the head at a Saturday campaign rally. All that would be a little demoralizing were we not counting coup ourselves, but sovereignty did beat journalism at the Belmont Stakes. The Supreme Court ruled against Mexico's case against U.S. gun manufacturers. The National Guard is federalized on the side of America on the streets of L.A., and if they get in over their heads, the Marines at Camp Pendleton are ready to back them up. All that and much more on tonight's show. There's still time to catch a flight to San Salvador for Thursday's FinTech conference at the Hilton. We'll also cover the response of evangelist Sean Feicht against accusations of malfeasance. Music tonight's by Megan Trainor. Best call your chiropractor in case your neck break.
I could have my Gucci on. I could wear my Louis Vuitton. But even with nothing on, I made you look. I'll make you double take soon as I walk away. Call up your chiropractor just in case your neck break. Ooh, tell me what you gonna do. Ooh. Cause I'm about to make a scene. Double up that sunscreen. I'm about to turn the heat up. Gonna make your glasses steam. Ooh, tell me what you gonna do. When I do my walk, I can guarantee your job will drop. Cause they don't make a lot of what I got. Ladies, if you feel me, this your pop. I could have my Gucci on. I could wear my Louis Vuitton. But even with nothing on, bet I made you look. Yeah, I look good in my Versace. Cause even with my hoodie on, bet I made you look. I made you look. And once you get a taste, you'll never be the same. This ain't that ordinary, this that 14 karat cake. Ooh, tell me what you gon' do.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but people don't tune into Living by the Sword to hear the sugar-coated glam gospel or sanitized news. So here is the harsh prognosis of the assassination attempt against Miguel Uribe Turbay. Saturday night, he came out of neurosurgery. A lot of people are praying for him to pull through, and I would hate to detract from those hopes or those prayers, but if he does pull through, it will likely be like the pull-through of U.S. Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, who did return to Washington for a vote after her shooting in January 2011, but then resigned her post because she's basically an invalid. She was shot only once at a greater distance with a similar weapon. Uribe's radiology is on Twitter. It was a hollow-point bullet. His skull is fractured in multiple places. It did mushroom, which amplifies the wound channel and the cellular damage of non-compressive of cerebral tissues on the hood of a white car where his attendants attempted first aid as the crowd wailed and howled, blood spattered and smeared in all directions with what appears to be gray matter from the brain. Can God do it? Could God heal him? Sure, but so many things God leaves in the hands of humanity, and the wrath of God is apparent in this situation, as within 24 hours from the assassination attempt, a massive earthquake rated at 6.5 points on the Richter scale shook Colombia. Again, the same thing happened in 1967 when my mentor and the prophetic, Brother Clayton Earl Sonmore, prophesied to the Colombian Parliament and reprove them for not canceling their concordat with the Catholic Church, a violation of Colombia's sovereignty and the root cause of a lot of the political corruption, narco-cultivation, and senseless civil wars that have plagued the nation for decades. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio was very quick to condemn the attack and the violence, as was Republican Senator Rick Scott, both two very smart American politicians that have their finger on the pulse of Latin America. Colombia was for decades a U.S. ally and was ostensibly so even under the prior president, globalist and international banker Iván Duque. He was too much of a Bushite warmonger and unilateralist for my blood, but a lot of U.S. conservatism liked him. However, under the current presidency of Gustavo Petro, a dyed-in-the-wool leftist, all sane commentators agree that Colombia has been a political disaster. Oh, there's Joshua Collins from Pirate Wire Services, whom I often quote, and he did a whole article about what he considers a comedy of errors that Guatemala's attorney general has brought indictments against the Petro administration. If we have time, we'll get into that. Right now, I just want to ask the obvious question pertaining to the Uribe assassination attempt. Maybe it's not obvious enough because I have to ask it. What about these deranged leftists, generally from Catholic monarch programming backgrounds, that committed the assassination attempts against Donald John Trump, against Jair Bolsonaro when he was a candidate, and now against Miguel Uribe Turbay? I remind you, just in case you've allowed your anger to subside, that Donald Trump was millimeters from a cerebral injury that would have exploded his cranium with that high-velocity bullet, and that the tropical Trump, Jair Bolsonaro, even though he's in and out of court as the lawfare against him continues in Brazil, he wears a colostomy bag to this day from that attack. So I just have to ask you all, dear dumbasses, dear fellows of Christian conservatism in the free world, where are the presidential security teams? Not on my dojo floor. What is wrong with these candidates to roll up their shirt sleeves and stand in the middle of the town square with zero police presence? Gerardo Fernandez Noronha did that in San Fernando, Mexico, the drug den of the northern violent state of Tamaulipas. He and I spoke about it, and he poo-pooed my recommendations. A couple months later, he dropped out of the race, and Doctora Claudia Sheinbaum was stopped by masked gunmen in the state of Chiapas. Her vehicle was stopped. Her window was down. She wore a frown in the face of the capuchados. She was dead to rights, and if they had desired to pull the trigger, it would have been the easiest thing in the world at that point. We thank God for saving Doctora Claudia Sheinbaum, who, although she comes from the left and is from AMLO's leftist party, she's working very hard to make Mexico safe again, great again, and secure again. She does not work for the drug dealers. I'm really angry at my fellow newscasters for putting that lie out into the public forum and making it so prevalent there. Ecuadorian President Daniel Noboa was at least smart enough to wear a bulletproof vest and a helmet when he went out in public, but that also was in the recent wake of an assassination of another political candidate right there in Ecuador. A little time goes by, and how quickly we forget. Even Uribe himself took the exact opposite position of what we prescribe here, what we encourage here on the Living by the Sword show. We want you to get a little bit mad like Samson and other heroes of the Bible who would not rest until their enemies were in the ground. That's what the Lord's King David did, and even the few malefactors where he extended grace and allowed them to live, his son Solomon came and batted cleanup in the first year of his reign. Those hoary heads did go down to the grave in blood, even though Joab clung to the horns of the Lord's altar. I'm going to read from this article in El Tiempo. It's a 2021 article by Vanessa de la Torre. I will translate the title from Spanish. I forgave Popeye, says Miguel Uribe Turbay, the son of Diana Turbay. A little background. Popeye was a notorious assassin of the militant left, and Diana Turbay was a journalist that he murdered. So here is the candidate, Miguel Uribe Turbay, who is the son of a murdered journalist, grew up without his mother. I'll ask you, Mr. Uribe, how did that work out for you? Now you're a vegetable and have suffered the same fate. Am I the only one out here that's like Solomon, who's ready and willing and understands the need to settle the scores where our fathers were gracious, out of order, excessively merciful? No, you must forgive them. That's what the Catholic Church says we should do with the pedophiles. Let them slide. Let them reoffend. No, let's give them a moment to say their prayers and send them to the gallows. How about that? That's what Pancho Villa did. Gabby Gifford studied. She went to college in Chihuahua, the city of the Villistas, under the very lampposts where pedophile priests were hanged, and she didn't learn the lesson. It's that much harder when we even have limp-wristed Protestant preachers like Russell Stendahl, who calls Columbia his home, who wrote a book called The Beatitudes, The Lord's Plan for Battle. And in this book, the premise is this, that our weapon of war is forgiveness. What a bunch of unbiblical horse hockey. The lesson of the Uribe assassination attempt is to not let your guard down, to not stand there in your shirt sleeves on a stump by a tree in the park in the city center, surrounded by an unvetted and possibly hostile crowd, and tell how you're going to turn your military and police agencies around to hunt the wicked, to put them in prison, and to put many of them in the ground. If you're dumb enough to do that, they may just put you in the ground first. The good news is, the Lord God Almighty is shaking all things that can be shaken. On our side, on the Lord's side, we have more than our bullets. We also have the hailstones and stones of fire.
Please don't make promises that you can't keep. Your best intentions end up hurting me. No matter what, I'll love you endlessly. I know we're blood, but this love is bad for me. I can't tell you what I wanna say, 'cause I'm afraid that you won't change. Sometimes I just wanna scream in your face, but when you're in pain, just walk away. And my therapist told me to write you a letter. Mm-hmm. She said if I did, it would make me feel better. But it wouldn't do shit even if I sent it, 'cause you won't get it. You're too damn selfish. Mm-hmm. Please don't make promises that you can't keep. Your best intentions end up hurting me. No matter what, I'll love you endlessly. But I gotta run, I gotta run from your reality. I know we're good, but this love is bad for me.
Damn, it's hard for me to let go of someone I held so close. Damn, it's hard for me to draw that line and leave you on the other side. But my therapist told me to write you a letter. Mm-hmm. She said if I did, it would make me feel better. Oh,
but it wouldn't do shit even if I sent it, 'cause you won't get it.
You're too damn selfish. Oh,
please don't this love is bad for me.
I always counsel people not to envy the dead, even though Job, a mighty prophet, did exactly that in the depth of his suffering, in the hour of his darkest trial. I don't like to be around the dead, even though I've studied my whole life how to hurt people and how to take their life if necessary. Let's laugh a minute in between somber notes. This just hit Twitter that here in El Salvador, not far from where I'm at, the bus coming in from Zacatecoluca, the 105, a guy stood up in the front of that bus and began to preach the gospel, began to preach the word of God. It's something that happens pretty often, and I always encourage those guys, and they're always very, very square. I mean, sometimes they believe in the escape rapture and stuff like that, but discarding those finer points, they're generally very serious Pentecostal believers who preach the word with authority and power. Well, a demon-possessed 70-some-year-old granny pulled a knife and was going to kill that guy. He started rebuking her and her demons in the name of Jesus, and she froze long enough for a kid to work his way up through the crowd of standees in the aisle, and he went right for that knife. It was actually an okay disarm. I mean, for somebody like me that studies that day after day, it would have been easy as pie. But all these people were really nervous. If I have any time after the break, I'll play you the audio of that event. It was brave of that young fellow, teenager, to move up and to make that attack, risking his own life. It was brave of the preacher to stand his ground. Of course, there were a couple millennials around. What were they doing? Oh, they were reaching for their phone like that was their deadly weapon that was going to somehow save them. I often have to try to explain to my students what it's like to face a mortal threat for the first time, and I think I prepare them for that to some degree. There's another part of it that just has to happen, just like when Mom went out in the woods with her musket and faced the bear. She practiced and she rehearsed, but there's nothing like coming eyeball to eyeball with the bear in his own territory. People just have to have their own baptism of fire by facing a deadly weapon, by encountering a vicious predator on its own turf, or a ferocious canine making a determined attack. And so it is when we encounter death close to us. On this show, I've said goodbye to a lot of close friends, and I've spoken a lot of obituaries and eulogies and memorials. But when it is close to you, man, it is still hard. That's when the temptation comes to envy the dead, who accomplish what they wanted to accomplish, whatever it was, sometimes in battle, a valiant act saving their buddies. And of course, any fallout from their actions, they're not around to account for. That falls on the living. I guess the only person that the Bible says it would be better if he had not been born was Judas, that traitor. And what's the lesson there? Is it that we should endeavor to not be born or to bring children into this world? Negative. It is that we need to be very careful not to commit treason against God or against a great nation like our United States. Maybe envying the dead is easier than facing the cruel reality that if you work in search and rescue long enough, you're gonna encounter a dead body. And it's hard for all of us. It's hard for the dogs. They feel like they have failed, that they couldn't get the job done, that they could not get there in time. There's a point where a good handler, if he suspects all the victims are dead, needs to make a decision to withdraw his animal, because they can go crazy and no longer live to serve the living. There's another side. The cavalry soldier sometimes has to decide to drive his horse to death. I'm going to play Benny King's classic Stand By Me from the 1986 movie soundtrack, although the song is much older. The movie was originally slated to be entitled The Body, after the title of the Stephen King novella on which it was based. I don't remember the entire film, but the basic premise of it is I was the same age as the actors when it came out, was the discovery of the body of a murder victim and all the possible consequences to the living. So while I play Benny King, let's mourn for a moment, and maybe we'll take stock of your own life. Because one thing that's certain about a death very close to you, you will find out who your friends are and who they aren't. You'll know who, during that dark night, will stand by you, who will stand by me.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, just as long as you stand, stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand. Stand by me. Stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand, stand by me.
Can you believe that a horse named Sovereignty beat his rival, another horse named Journalism, in the Belmont Stakes, the third and final race of the Triple Crown contest, which Sovereignty could have won the Triple Crown if he did not skip the Preakness? Some people think that God cannot speak in current events in secular movies. These are the stuffy, fuddy-duddy preachers that are furious at me for playing worldly music on Living by the Sword. Oh, the Lord can speak in these things. And what has free government been up against these last years? Fake news, communist infiltration, socialist-funded, Soros-funded, Chinese-funded, Federal Reserve papist-funded, fake news under the guise of journalism. I want to cover the LA riots in this segment because this is of great importance, and you need someone who understands the Latin world, who speaks Spanish, to break down the propaganda of what this is and what it is not. Steve Quayle reposted the California Organic Farmer, and he was going on and on, and now this is an escape rapturist. He was talking about, this is the Dimitri Dudeman prophecies, this is the apocalypse, these are the last days, this is the final hour. That it is not. And those of us who believe in popular sovereignty should be so thankful that the organs of our government, that the apparatus of power, that our armed services and our border patrol are now coming back into alignment with our historic values, our forefathers' values, and our Christian values. Can we just be thankful for a minute for our ministers pointing the guns that we gave them at the actual bad guys? Let's give thanks to God for that. Okay, but I want to take a step back and cover the U.S. Supreme Court case, the Supreme Court ruling unanimously against the Republic of Mexico, the United States of Mexico, the Mexican government, which was suing a slew of firearms manufacturers within the USA. Was the USA responsible for those ills in the Mexican nation? Yes, but it wasn't Smith & Wesson who did it. It was Eric Holder. It was Hillary Clinton. It was Fast and Furious and the corrupt Department of Justice. One thing the California Organic Farmer said is that Trump was stripping away the power of the Supreme Court. Well, the Supreme Court has backed him and the United States and the sovereign citizen up this time. And I really don't like the Supreme Court as it now sits, because a few years ago I stated that there were more Catholic justices on it, six at that time, than in all of U.S. history combined. Here comes the rain on the roof of my rustic hut. I hope you can still hear me. After the break, I'm going to tell you about the Chalapa de Chatarra, my surf shack and de facto Salvadoran command center. The sad part, it's a lot nicer than a lot of my neighbors' homes. Returning to the U.S. Supreme Court, it is even more Catholic now than in the days of my lamentation, the only outlier being Elena Kagan, the largely secular Jewess, who is the only justice, in my estimation, that's not totally Catholic. And it was she who wrote the opinion for, not the majority in this case, against Mexico for the unanimity. Maybe I'll hit some more points about this later in the show, but right now I just want to state that it was never the modern Mexico. It was never AMLO's Mexico and Morena's Mexico, the Mexican iteration of the last 6.5 years that was filing this case. It was Marcelo Ebrard Marcelina, the twinkle-toed holdover from the old government, whom AMLO tried to include, just like Trump tried to make a gesture of peace to the old ruling elite by taking Pence for vice president. This did not work for Ronald Reagan before him, who got a turncoat and a traitor and a Benedict Arnold and old George Bush. And it did not work for Trump 1.0 or 2.0. I'll try to talk about that in a later segment as well. I just want to state that the California organic farmer is totally wrong about Trump usurping power from the Supreme Court. And we elected Trump to counter the same judicial tyranny which turned Brazil communist, which existed in Mexico and is only now being dismantled after Morena's first sexenio or six-year presidency. The same judicial tyranny that Bukele boldly dismantled in El Salvador. The riots in California and now in New York and now breaking out in other cities across the nation are a brazen and desperate move by the cornered animal that is the American left. It's not the apocalypse, but we all knew the swelling problem, this massive and cancerous carbuncle that's been growing right on the face of American society, was going to blow at some time, whether it was provoked, prodded, lanced, or not. Now that it's happening, I can only say, bring it on.
Lock me up cause I've been bad and I know I'll do it again. You're the best I ever had, I'm guilty, I confess. Blue lights, red lights. We gon' get real wild tonight. Blue lights, red lights. With you.
Thank you. wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad, pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges?" In 1 Corinthians 9:7, the apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world, or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something? Someday very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans preferred.
This is the Living by the Sword radio show with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers. Welcome back. We are broadcasting on WBCQ 7.490 megahertz and WRMI 9.955 megahertz to Latin America and the Caribbean. New listeners always want me to get straight to the news, but my longtime listeners are really curious about what it takes for me to bring it to you. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about La Chalapa de Chatarra, the junk hut, from where I am broadcasting. If you can hear the raindrops. Oh, and they don't just come down from above, they come up from beneath too, as the whole area is a flood zone. Years ago in Montana, there was a place called Ape Hangers at the Rustic Hut. Ape Hangers was a restaurant, and the property it was in was called the Rustic Hut. I guess it was an old chalet, and it had a wooden roof on it. One of the only holdovers, one of the only remnants from a bygone age where that was just the way things were done. So a restaurant moved into this shopping center called the Rustic Hut, and it was kind of out in the country on Highway 93. And the restaurant was called Ape Hangers, which is a biker theme. So on a chopper motorcycle, when they get those handlebars that are way, way up high, it's a derogatory term from the outsiders, but those who run them, they call them Ape Hangers, because it looks like a simian hanging from a trapeze as they're going down the road. Some western states, I believe Wyoming, even have ape hanger laws. There's a sign when you enter the state that says no ape hangers, and it has a picture of a set of high handlebars and a guy hanging onto him riding his chopper down the road. The finer print at the bottom of the sign says no handlebars above shoulder height. So that's the rule in ape hanger state. You cannot have handlebars where the rider's fists are above their deltoids. It was such an interesting place and such a catchy name, Ape Hangers at the Rustic Hut. And they had a prime rib special. I don't know if it was $9.99 or $14.99, but on whatever day it was when they roasted the butt, it was worth coming out for, and a lot of bikers did. So whenever I have to hang my hammock, suspect, obscure, sketchy place, I always think of that old restaurant on Highway 93, Ape Hangers at the Rustic Hut. I'm going to interject now what J.D. Vance tweeted out today in his continuing charade where he pretends to be like us, tries to convince us that he's one of us. I can't believe Elon Musk tweeted that Trump should be removed and replaced with J.D. Vance. That is a nightmare scenario. So what did Vance do last night? He tweeted out a Bible verse. He tweeted out a Bible verse. And here's the verse that it was. And it has come up in conversation just this week. Someone said it was their favorite verse. And they were a little surprised when I sang it in Spanish. It goes like this. Todo lo puedo en Cristo que me fortalece. Así dijo San Pablo a los filipenses. En el capítulo 4, en el versículo 13. Todo lo puedo en Cristo que me fortalece. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's a longtime favorite of many athletes and people who undertake difficult tasks. And it was this verse, or some adulteration of it, that J.D. Vance tweeted. I'll read it to you. It was actually an email that I got. A message from Vice President J.D. Vance. Philippians 4:13. I have the strength for everything through him who empowers me. Now, when I hear a verse, and it doesn't seem familiar, I start looking for what screwball translation it came out of. And do you know what this one is from? It was not even on the list of Bibles to compare at BibleHub.com. I had to dig a little deeper. It is from the New American Bible Revised Edition. One of the most Catholic Bibles there is, carrying both the Nihil Obstat and an imprimatur, meaning that the Catholic Church authorized its printing after carefully scrutinizing and finding that nothing in that Bible obstructs their numerous occult and idolatrous practices, or confronts any of their plethora of errant doctrines. Errant and aberrant. Aberrant and abhorrent. Before I finally dug up the offending Bible, the New American Bible Revised Edition, I noticed that the rendition was similar to the 1582 Dewey Rhymes Bible, which was for centuries the most Catholic Bible you could get. So, Mr. Vice President, Christian America does not at all buy into your charade. Talk about envying the dead, the one bright spot in me being denied my right to vote by my absentee ballot never arriving in Mexico. I was not forced to vote for Vice President Vance. And I would have had to at that time because he was right there as Trump's running mate on Trump's ticket. Let's go out to a really happy Meghan Trainor hit while we're lamenting having a vice president who sadly does not believe.
Don't think about it, just move your body. Listen to the music, sing oh, hey, oh. Just move those left feet, go ahead, get crazy. Anyone can do it, sing oh, hey, oh. Show the world you got that fire. Feel the rhythm getting louder. Show the world what you can do. Prove to them you got the moves. I don't know about you, but I feel better when I'm dancing. Yeah, yeah. Better when I'm dancing. Yeah, yeah. We can do this together. I bet you feel better when you're dancing. Yeah, yeah. When you finally let go, say that solo, cause you listen to that music, sing it oh, hey, oh, cause you're confident, babe, yeah. You make your hips sway, we knew that you could do it, sing oh, hey, oh, show the world you got that fire, fire, feel the rhythm getting louder, show the room what you can do, go to them, you got the moves, hey. I don't know about you, but I feel better when I'm dancing, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
I guess I should tell you what Philippians 14 is truly and obviously about. It's about the rustic hut. It's about the chalapa de chatarra, living in a junk hut, living in a situation that is beneath what you had hoped to achieve for yourself. And many great Americans blew their own brains out rather than subsisting in austere circumstances in a foreign land. That's the only way that I've lived to tell the tale. So let's read Philippians 4:11, where the apostle says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." You know what want is? When you don't have what you want. It's when you don't have what you need. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned," says the apostle, "in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." One cool thing about the junk hut, when you leave, you don't have to worry about whether you left the coffee pot on, whether you left the lights on, whether you left the stove on. Porque no cuenta con ninguna cosa así, because it doesn't have any of those things. At least it didn't. I'm building a little bit. And you know what? I'm actually thankful that for the first time in my entire stay in El Salvador, all of my stays in El Salvador, for the first time, I'm in a place that I don't pay for, where someone else has realized that I have this massive repertoire of skills and abilities and more than make my way, aside from hustling in another place to bring them cash money. Okay, you're not convinced yet. I know people have been taught their whole life that this is the verse of the sports contestant. So let's read 4:12. "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound." A lot of people don't know how to abound. That's why when they win the lotto, they're broke in 5 years. They don't know about investment strategies, about planning for the future. They don't know about sowing and reaping. They don't know how to choose their friends and choose employees that are going to serve them and not rip them off, that are going to build their enterprise. But what about knowing how to be abased? That's when you suffer need. That's when you're not living in a huge mansion overlooking all the city. It's when you have simple food in a dangerous place. It is when you suffer need. And here the apostle tells that he knows how to do that. "I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Yeah, to be abased is to be hungry. Do you think J.D. Vance knows anything about that? I doubt it. But every soldier does, at least if they've been in battle, at least if they've had their baptism of fire. And you know who really does not know how to be abased? Dr. Robert Zellner, Dr. Z. I'm going to read this. This is from Jules Knapp at I Doubt It USA. Replying to Ron S. Cantor and Sean Feicht, "Look into his board member, Robert Zellner, and just follow the money. I'm telling you, it will blow your mind. I'm from the city where they connected." I'll add, that is Tulsa. "I once accidentally greeted Sean as a visitor at our house church being held at Zellner's house. Insanity followed." That's eyewitness testimony from somebody who was right there on the ground. Now, Sean Feicht is the global worship sensation who's enduring a lot of attacks right now. In fact, he mentioned that. Oh, you know God's getting ready to do something big when all the Soros operatives, all the controlled media, and all the disgruntled ex-employees come out of the woodwork at the same time to attack. Sean has made some missteps, but I really believe, and someday we'll find out whether this is true or not, but I have it in my spirit that this is one of the wayward youths that Dr. D, Dennis Tarpin, found out on the streets of California and prayed for, won to the Lord, discipled, and bestowed spiritual gifts. A lot of them, like Sean Feicht, grew up in church. So we'll find out in the long run whether or not that is how he really got his start and began his meteoric rise, or at least cut his teeth in the worship, missions, and church world. We know that he got his meteoric rise during the COVID pandemic. But Sean Feicht has got to be careful who he links arms with and who he hangs out with, because they'll ride him and they will quench the smoke and flax. They will put out the coal of flame on somebody's life. They will cause the anointing of God to depart off of somebody's life by their accords with darkness. And you know who it is who has no idea how to be abased, other than J.D. Vance? Dr. Robert Zellner. This is the optometrist who made so much money in Tulsa that he branched out into other businesses, and he was the first one on the bandwagon when some Barnum and Bailey quasi-revivalist circus machinery of man came to Tulsa. Paul talks about how he found out who his friends were when they did not despise his poverty. when they did not despise his chains. You want to find out who your friends are? Get arrested and see who still stands with you. You want to find out who your friends are? Find a dead body with them and see if they'll still be your friend after that. Will they stand together in that dark time? Or will they run screaming and act like you are the weirdo because you want to report the matter and pursue justice? Maybe your weak-kneed friend just doesn't know that it is unsolved murders that bring the wrath of God upon a nation. It's all right there in Deuteronomy 21. Maybe someday the Colombians will figure this out. Unlike Jules Knapp, I have not been in Dr. Robert Zellner's home. I do have his cell phone number right here in my telephone, though. He never answers. He may read a text or listen to his voicemail. But he was far too important to answer actual phone calls himself, even on his private number, even 20 years ago. It was the summer of 2003 when I sat across the negotiating table from him. He owned a huge auto auction company on Admiral Drive in Tulsa, and I fenced it for him. The project was at a standstill, and when I was confronted by his manager, I called him, the boss, directly, and I left a message something like this. Hey, Dr. Z, this is your contractor. Your manager left me a message that he hasn't seen my crew working for the last 2 days, and he's a little worried about it. And I could tell you that the project has gone over budget, and all of that is true. And I could tell you that we've had weather delays, and that also is true. But I wouldn't be telling you the whole truth if I didn't tell you that the reason the project is at a standstill is because I gave away $1,000 to a very worthy cause. I then told him, it's not your problem, it's really God's problem. But we discussed you paying me for the welding phase of your security fence, and if you were to do that, I would finish the project on time and otherwise on budget. Or you can do nothing and wait for God to arrive. I think I left him that message on a Friday. On Sunday, I sold a project out of the blue. I had bid it months before. The client called me and said, Sam, I got $5,000. Can you put that roof on for that? I told him I could put you on a legal and code compliant overlay for that. Meet me at the bank right now. And he did. I finished both jobs in the coming days. Dr. Zellner never spoke to me again. And good riddance. I don't need friends who claim to be revivalists, whose God is their belly, whose God is their bank account, who will not stand, who cannot stand in the dark night in the day of war and battle. If Sean Feicht learns that lesson and gets away from people like Dr. Robert Zellner, he may actually have some revivals that persist, that remain. We will see.
I found myself dreaming in silver and gold, like a scene from a movie that every broken heart knows. We were walking on moonlight and you pulled me close. Split second and you disappeared, and then I was all alone. I woke up in tears with you by my side, breath of relief, and I realized no, we're not promised tomorrow. So I'm gonna love you like I'm gonna lose you. I'm gonna hold you like I'm saying goodbye. Wherever we're standing, I won't take you for granted.
Of an eye, just a whisper of smoke, you could lose everything. The truth is you never know. So I'll kiss you longer, babe. Any chance that I get, I'll make the most of the minutes in love with no regrets. Let's take our time to say what we want, what we got before it's all gone. Cause no, we got promise tomorrow. So I'm gonna love you like I'm gonna lose you.
I'm just not going to get to Australia's mushroom murderess who killed her in-laws by feeding them death cap mushrooms. Just one more reason that I have a policy of not eating anything that contains as part of its name the words deadly or death. Just saying. And there are murderesses. Murder is not something that's exclusive to mankind. Chicks get pissy too. They do traitorous acts deserving of death, and they do commit murder. You know who is a serious deviant and a convicted murderer? Grant Hardin, the one-time Arkansas police chief who escaped from prison where he was serving a sentence for rape and another one for murder. CNN reports Hardin, 56 years of age, had been on the run for more than 10 days after breaking out of prison on May 25th. This guy is a madman, and I'm glad he's back behind bars. He raped a school teacher and the wife of a fellow officer in Rogers, Arkansas, and the crime went unsolved for 20 years. And what was Hardin doing during that time? He was in law enforcement. He was a constable. I believe he was a corrections officer. And then he became the chief of police of tiny Gateway, Arkansas. All my life, I've had some serious problems with good cop theory. Really, I put more stock in serial crusher theory and big huge guy theory, because if there were good cops, wouldn't the good cops arrest the bad cops? Not my question, just a wise one that someone once asked. I have to admit, I doubted whether it would ever happen. Well, we got a new sheriff in town in the person of Donald J. Trump. Now the good cops are arresting the bad guys, and they are arresting the bad cops. Again, I'm a little shocked that even the Supreme Court did the right thing in a unanimous decision. Justice Kagan's opinion references the PLCAA. I think that's Protecting Lawful Commerce in American Arms. She states the language of that law, quoting, quote, may not be brought, unquote. There, that's it. This case may not be brought. That's great. That's great. Golf clap. Now, when are you papists going to learn the meaning of shall not be infringed? When will you understand the meaning of Congress shall make no law? I wanted to talk a lot more about Kilmer Abrego Garcia. Trump said he had nothing to do with this decision. Pam Bondi had a press conference Friday late in the day, like I think it was after 5, that Kilmer was on his way back to the U.S. and that he is the center, that he is the axle of the wagon wheel of a huge migrant trafficking corrupt organization, and the whole thing's coming down. So he can go to a supermax in the USA, maybe be cellies with Grant Hardin. I'll go out with this factoid. 1906 beer brand came out with a new recipe. It's called Peli Roja. I'm gonna have to check it out this Shabbat. Here's one more Meghan Trainor for the Peli Roja, a girl that's out of this world.
Your dreams, baby, that's me.
How do I know if someone's a secret spy? Sensitive information. Unusual behavior.
Yeah, so when you want some boy, come get it. I'ma take you past your limits. I got a spaceship, come get in it. For the ride of your life, my love's gonna take it to the moon.
Space babes, the boss is here, and I'm going to get you ready for this mission.
Darling, you'll be gone doesn't make any sense.
Riley?
Mama? That's my favorite story. I love you.
I love you.
And with this, you can hear everything.
Ah.
Very nice.
And we have the same birthday. Watch to the moon.
What's your sign?
Capricorn, bitch.
Action! Action! Yeah, I want to do. Oh.
My love gonna take you to the moon. My love, my love.
Circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
This has been the Living by the Sword radio program with Pastor Samuel Honnold, GospelGunslingers.com.